Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, David and Jonathan, what a friendship they had. And what a friend Jonathan was to go find David in his distress, to encourage him, to strengthen him in God, to speak life into, to speak faith into David. That's what friends do. Friends come in when the whole world walks out. I know that sounds trite, but that's exactly what Jonathan did. We're in verse number 19. So 1 Samuel 23, verse number 19, then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds, in the wood, in the hill of Hakalah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand." So you talk about going from feast to famine, talk about going from, you know, the mountaintop to the valley. We're finding that happening right here.
It sure is, Pastor. We're finding it, you know, that's how life often is, where things are not just a flat plateau, but there are ups and downs. And David has just had this great time of reunion with Jonathan. But now these people are trying to get on Saul's good side, and they send word to Saul, "Hey, we got him here. We're going to keep him. You come down and get him." And so, yes, we continue to see God working in David's behalf and guiding David and protecting David.
So the Ziphites and the Keilahites, the people of Keilah, it's like David is serving these people. He's loving them. He's helping them. And eventually, he will be their king. He will unite Israel. Initially, he's going to be their king because he's going to be the king over the two southern tribes for 7 years, ruling from Hebron, but then eventually over the entire kingdom. And yet, John, you never find a spirit of vindictiveness in David to these people.
That's a great observation, Pastor. It's easy not to think about how that these people, and David would have known this, these people are giving him up, so to speak. They're trying to be on Saul's side. But that is not the heart of David. David is a forgiven individual and never tries to go back out. Even I think whenever Absalom rebels against him, David does not take harsh consequences against the people that join Absalom's side when he becomes king again.
Think about the context in which these two verses are given. The context is David just met with Jonathan, and Jonathan just said, "David, it's okay. God's at work. You're going to be the king. Saul knows it. I know it. It's all good. Have faith in God." And then the very next thing is people are betraying him. They're giving up his position. Things circumstantially get worse. Many times the assurances God gives us are not because of trouble, but they're ahead of trouble. And that's what we're finding here in 1 Samuel 23.
Yeah, and I love how God does that in our life, how God gives encouragement. God gives us grace because God knows it's coming down the pathway for us. And God prepares us to meet the challenges ahead so we can be faithful to him as we go through difficulties.
Right. God is giving encouragement twofold, really, because of what David has been facing, but also because of what David will face. There's a grace that God gives that is reactive, and there's a grace that God gives that's proactive. And we find that both cases here in 1 Samuel 23, verse number 21, "And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have had compassion on me." Saul is just such a snake. So the Ziphites know exactly what they're doing. We're betraying this man. We're betraying David. And they're looking for favor. "Hey, we're going to do this, Saul, for you." They're kissing up. And Saul uses the language of of fidelity to God. Oh, what a blessing. You're blessed of God. And you've had compassion. You've been so good to me. Thank you for being compassionate toward me and service-minded toward the Lord.
Yeah, whenever I read this verse, Pastor, I always just, it is just so ridiculous to me. But we see this was Saul. This is Saul's mode of operation. This is what Saul does. You know, Saul tries to, to invoke God's name, to bring God in the equation. Saul is far from God. He doesn't want to follow God. He doesn't want to submit to God. And this does remind us to be cautious of people just because they, you know, bring God's name up. Just because people say God's name does not mean they're walking with God. It's easy today. I know people today who get mesmerized by celebrities when they mention the name of God. Well, that doesn't mean anything at all necessarily. It's easy to say God's name, but how is a person doing living for God?
Right. And Saul, in this very passage, has demonstrated that he doesn't care for these people. He didn't care for the people of Keilah. He wasn't there to save them in the first place. So he didn't care for them. He didn't care for the Ziphites. He's just an opportunist. A narcissist is only pretends that he likes you and speaks well of you when you can satisfy his ends.
Exactly right. But as soon as you go against, he'll stab you in the back. He'll take you down. And Saul, we've seen, is very ready to do that. And this is just a great picture of an individual who's far from God, who's focused on self. This is where people can go down to in their life if they're not faithful in following God.
For sure. Look at verse number 22. Go, Saul says, I pray you, prepare yet and know and see his place where his haunt is, where he's hiding, and who hath seen him there. For it was told me that he dealeth very subtly. Okay, so go, you know, do what you said you're going to do. Find out where he is. But listen, he's a sneaky guy.
Yeah, here's Saul, who is the bad guy. He's trying to throw shade upon David. But, you know, Saul, again, just demonstrates continually just his focus on David, his wrong perspective of David. And this is sad for Saul. What could have ended as just a great harmony between Saul and David, and David could have helped Saul finish well. It doesn't happen that way because of Saul's sinful attitude.
The criticisms of carnal people are not a prophecy. The criticisms of carnal people are a testimony. So when you hear carnal people being critical, they're not telling you something about the person of whom they're being critical. They're telling you something about themselves. And it's interesting that Saul here is saying, yeah, David, he's devious, he's subtle, and yet what is Saul actually doing? He's actually just demonstrating to all of us that are looking back through the lens of the Word of God that you are the one that is everything that you are claiming that David is.
Yeah, and I love how David pins Psalm 54 in relationship to this time of his life. The Psalm title tells us that. Let me just read one verse from Psalm 54, where David says, verse 4, "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." So David knows God is blessing not only David, but those that are helping David. God will bless them. But Saul has it completely wrong. Saul thinks that, you know, that it's going to be good for people to help Saul out. But Saul's mindset is completely backwards.
And where did David get that encouragement to write that psalm? Mm-hmm. From Jonathan. And so he has this strength. His hand has been strengthened in God. In a very real sense, he uses that strengthened hand to pen that poem.
Yes, he sure does. And it's a short poem, but it's a great poem of David's trust in God, how that David knows who is over all things in life.
Look at verse number 23. "See, therefore," Saul continues to instruct the Ziphites, "see, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty." Hey, don't come back to me until you can tell me exactly where he is. "And I will go with you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah." Man, I am willing to go anywhere. I'm willing to continue this until I find him. I don't care if I have to rifle through the closet of every house of every village of Judah. I mean, he is just maniacally obsessed with getting David.
You know, when I think of this, it reminds me of time, of how do I spend my time? You know, am I allowing things to take my time? that are just a waste of my time. And this is a waste of Saul's time. We've mentioned this before, but it comes out again and again where he is so focused, he loses sight of the bigger picture of life even. And I hope in my life that, you know, I don't ever allow this to happen where I get so mesmerized by something in life that I waste time doing things that are meaningless or even wrong rather than investing my time what God really has for me to do.
So what happens in verses 24 through 29, and we'll talk a little bit about it right now, but then we'll finish it next episode, is that now Saul, with kind of these men on the ground, these people with local knowledge, these people that know the every crack and crevice of these hills and these strongholds, they know the back way. So Saul no doubt is thinking, I've got it now. I've got this inside information. There's no way that David is going to be able to escape from me now. And the Bible says, and they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. So David is safe for the time being. Saul has ramped up his efforts to find him. Saul has kind of the locals that are in on it, and we're going to find out how all of this unfolds.
You know, Saul right now has got to be, Saul thinks, I can taste now getting David. The end is near. I will get rid of the guy that I hate. And so Saul right now, I think, is feeling encouraged, but it's a wrong encouragement because he's not following God, and God is not going to bless Saul in his life.
He's not, as we shall see. And there are going to be a couple episodes here in the near future where God is demonstrably speaking to Saul and convicting him. And Saul is so addicted to his own agenda, so addicted to his own pride and the praise. He just can't, even the conviction that he is going to sense from God is not going to sway him ultimately in his habitual dedication to his own pride.
And God's patience with Saul reminds me of God's patience with people today. God's patience with me, for sure. And God's patience with people who are wicked. And how God wants us to have a heart to reach out to them, to share Christ with them, to not look at people and size them up as they are right now, but to see how God can work in their life, what God can do if they will submit to God.
That's a really good thought. We're going to do our best tomorrow, or I should say next episode, the reason I always do that, my friends, is I'll say tomorrow, then I'll think, well, I'm not sure when this episode's going to air. It might air on Friday, and so tomorrow would be Saturday, and we're not going to hear, so I don't want to be inaccurate. So that's why I always correct myself and say, I should say next episode. So whether that's tomorrow or Monday, if this is a Friday episode, we'll try to finish this chapter next episode and just see how this deal with the Ziphites turns out. So hope you have a great day today. God bless you, my friends, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.